The owner of the Houston Astros, Jim Crane, is joining us this morning here on ESPN 97.5. I knew you'd be a little bit early, so we appreciate you getting here. We're going to talk with him. If you've got any questions, you can either tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein, or you can call 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Talking Astros baseball now for the next hour here on ESPN 97.5. Look at that. That's a good intern right there, isn't it? He brought Mr. Crane his coffee. Get it going on, and welcome to the show. We appreciate you being here.
Good morning. Nice to be here. A little cold.
Yeah, it's too cold to play baseball now, but going down to Florida in less than a month now, this has been your shortest offseason, which is nice.
Well, it was a great run. Very proud of the guys, and happy for the city to get the first World Series. So I think that a lot of the guys are getting there early. They're back working out. And I've been told there's seven or eight guys already down there working out.
I can tell you, it's always nice. One of the things that really draws us to sports is it's one thing to see great players, but great players who play great in the biggest settings and scenarios is what makes sports special. When you see guys who do things that are just special, we were able to witness a variety of players do that. George Springer in clutch situations. George Springer and Jose Altuve and Marwin Gonzalez. And there's, the list goes, Lance McCullers.
Correa.
Charlie Morton, Carlos Correa. All these guys stepping up in a variety of manners, which is going to make this, for most people, it's going to be the most incredible time in sports history, the Houston Astros run, when you look at, because all those series were unique, the Red Sox series with Altuve and then the Yankee series coming back, and of course the craziness of the Dodgers series. How did you take that in as an owner? Because you didn't seem to, it had to be tearing you up inside like the rest of us, but you look pretty cool, calm, and collected back behind the plate.
Well, it was a great run. I mean, all those series were fun to watch. I mean, great baseball. The guys kept coming through over and over and over again. Listen, I was there just like another fan. There's, once the game starts, there's really nothing you can do. AJ's managing the game, and you're one of the other spectators. But it was fun to watch. I remember the game five. I was sitting back behind Hope, and don't often like to sit there too much. Because you're right there, and you're on TV every pitch, and so I'd leave when they scored. Dodgers would score a bunch of runs, and I'd come back when we scored. So I got a routine going, and we finally got it done. But what a game, So it's fun to watch. You're a fan, and when the game goes off, you just will hope for the best.
But honestly, because I talked to AJ about this, I said you looked so cool and calm and collected, like Lance said. What was going through your mind and your gut? I mean, was it you certainly showed better than you must have felt.
Well, listen, the guys were so resilient. I remember watching a game in Boston when Bregman hit the home run to tie the game up or go ahead. I forget which was, but he went into that dugout because I was happened to be lucky enough to sit down low there, and I could look into the dugout from the stands, and he was so fired up. He just got the rest of the guys going. I mean, they never really gave up, and they never felt like they were beat, and that's a champion. That's how it works.
Yeah. One of the things that Lance said there was the clutch, and it seemed like, and it was so amazing, it didn't matter if it was Chris Sale or Kimbrel or Chapman or CC or all the Dodgers. I mean, it was unbelievable. Kenley Jansen. It didn't matter who was pitching, and that's something that we haven't seen here in how long. Is that guys? We don't care who it is. We're going to hit you.
Yeah. No. It was fun to watch because they went through probably three of the best closers in baseball. With Boston's Clark Kimbrel you mentioned, and then the big left-hander in New York, and then the Dodgers closers. Those guys really hadn't been touched all year, and they got to the Boston closer a couple times, they got to New York closer a couple times, and Jansen a couple times. And so to get through those guys and hit them and win the games late like that was pretty incredible.
I'd say it was truly incredible, and I know it was Jansen
got to all three of them.
Jansen and Kimbrell. Who was it? That, no, no. Oh. It was Kimbrell, and they also touched up Chris Sale. We didn't even mention that. Yeah, Sale, Kimbrell, Chapman, and Jansen, and really all the Dodgers bullpen, because they had been really good, and all the Yankees bullpen, because these guys had been great up to this point. So it's just, I mean, frankly, it's anti-Astros, because we've seen some great Astros teams in the past who fell short in clutch situations. So to see this Astros team go start to finish like that is something that will mean a lot.
And oh, by the way, Kershaw, too.
I mean, Kershaw. Sale, Kershaw, Jansen.
You know, right, whatever.
I mean, one of the great clutch performances of all time has to be this Houston Astros World Series win against that many big-time home runs. Home runs.
And you don't know when you're looking at guys if they've got that in them, though, right? I mean, when Jeff Luhnow is picking guys and, you know, this, we want this guy for the team, we want that guy for the team, one thing that you can't measure is if he's going to have the guts to, or another way to put it, you know, if he's going to have the guts and have the poise in clutch time.
Yeah, I think, you know, you've seen, you know, Bregman, I always use Bregman's example. He's the youngest of the group, and he thrives on those situations. So I think it, you know, it kind of feeds off each other. The guys get push each other. I mean, Altuve, you know, is as quiet as he is at times. He just kept pushing those guys. Marwin told me, he said, listen, I wouldn't have this great a year. He said, Altuve was on me early. He said, you can get better. You can get better. You can get better. And I think, you know, they all started feeding off of that. And sure enough, you know, all of our guys had great years.
Yeah. You know, while Beltran didn't have a great year, and, you know, he had to sit because of how he was hitting and all that stuff, I think he's going to be sorely missed. And remember that when after he was signed, and Altuve and who was it, Correa, and somebody else went out to dinner with him, and they Beltran said that they were grilling me on how they could possibly get better. And that leadership, while he wasn't great on the field, I think that certainly helped in the locker room, don't you?
Oh yeah, I mean he's a very poised guy and a really nice guy, and I had a chance to visit with him numerous times on the Puerto Rican issue, and he's just as genuine as they get, and so, you know, they really, really, you know, fed off of him, and, you know, he was always there to talk to him and console him, and you know, he had some big hits throughout the year, though. He had a big hit. He had a big hit in Boston that helped us win a game. I mean, he didn't have a great season, but, you know, I think more than anything, he helped the rest of the guys stabilize the other guys when they had a tough time. He'd sit down and talk to them, and he was always really there to console anybody that wanted it.
Jim Crane with us in studio here on ESPN 97.5. You can tweet us at John Granato, at Lance Zerline. You can give us a call, 713-780-3776. Back here on ESPN 97.5, Jim Crane in studio. Eric Sandler.
Yeah, from Culture Map. He wants to know about Potente, your restaurant, that which first year he's Culture Map's restaurant writer, food writer, and he wants to know how the restaurant business went. I mean, we know you won a World Series, big deal. How's the restaurant stuff going?
The restaurant business is tough like the baseball business. But no, when the neighborhood's changing down there. There's three new apartment buildings right there, and there wasn't a lot of restaurants down there. So we got the opportunity to put two in Marvy Fingers' building, and mainly because there wasn't a ton of places to eat around there. And so we decided to give it a try. We built them out. They're nice inside. And we're starting to get, you know, we're starting to get some attention. The Oso's more casual Italian, and then the other side, Potente, which means mighty, which I named my little boy. His nickname's Mighty because he's always growling and stuff, so I call him the Mighty One. So it's been fun. The food's good. Please come by and check it out. You know, and with the ballpark being there and the neighborhood changing, you're going to see a lot more development down there. There's a lot of projects on the map and are getting back on the map. But really, there's, you know, three huge apartment buildings right there at Texas and Crawford that are all been built. One by Trammell Crow, another 37-story one that's just opening now. So that neighborhood's going to be cool down there. I think you're going to see a lot more kids living downtown and working downtown.
I don't know if a lot of people realize, but the hurricane wreaked havoc on the restaurant business, especially in that area. A lot of restaurants ended up closing doors because they couldn't afford to be down as long as they were, and then plus last year was a little tougher financially with oil and gas business. You know, it was a little bit of a down year for some restaurants. So it's been a little bit of a run. So reestablishing. But I think one of the things that really helps is having a downtown product like the Astros that make it a destination where you're not just going for the game. Maybe you're going pregame. Maybe you're going postgame as well.
Yeah, no, it's worked out. One's, like I said, one's casual, and they got nice, comfortable areas to have a drink, and the food's good, and you can get in and out pretty quick before a game or after a game. So restaurant business is not easy, but we did it more just to have a good place to go and send some of our fans, and you know a lot of players go in there to eat after the game, and you know, it's a place to be seen. So come on by.
Do you got to buy for them, the players?
Do they get discounts? Do they get 20% off appetizers?
It depends how well they played that night. You know, some nights we're a little more lenient, but no, we give them a discount. I mean, we just want to get them in there.
If yeah. Scott Boras comes hard after a Dallas Keuchel or Jose Altuve deal, is he going to have to pay full price whenever he goes into one of your restaurants?
You know what those guys will be making, Scott can afford full price. So we'll let him go full ticket.
Are you a little nervous that Scott Boras has every single player on your roster now, since he's obviously the reputation precedes him?
Yeah, he's a very smart guy. He likes to get to the owners. I let him work. You know, I kind of push him back to Jeff, and I said, listen, Jeff's making it. You know, the call, when it goes over a certain number, he's got to let me know. But, he likes to work the owners. I mean, he's a smart guy. He tries to, get to their egos and that sort of thing. So, we've got a lot of guys with him, and he's done a good job over the years. I mean, the guys are going to get paid what they're going to get paid. You get sometimes some tension with the owners and not paying the players. And listen, we're going to pay them as much as we can and when we can pay them, and try to sign as many and keep as many guys as we can. We're not going to be able to keep them all. Because we'd go bankrupt. I mean, with some of the deals that get cut, and we try to do smart deals. These long-term deals, past 7 or 10 years, when you look at the math on them, I think a lot of the GMs are becoming way smarter in what they're doing. They're just not interested in signing those deals because the back end of those deals really don't work. I mean, they might work for 3 or 4 or 5 years, but you see some of that stuff at the end. And a team in the middle of the market or to the top of the, top side, we're probably number 10 in revenue now. We can afford to do a few of those deals like Justin Verlander, but we got to get them right. And we can't do them, long term, because if one of those goes wrong, it really handcuffs the team for a period of time.
Have you been in any – you don't go to arbitration hearings?
No.
You still got George Springer that you got to do.
We got three left.
Yeah, three guys left. It's not a good thing to go to arbitration because you have to tell how bad the guy is while they're telling you how good he is.
Yeah, it's not a great process when you got the player sitting in the room.
No.
Listen, we try to do it in as cordial and professional manner as we can. You put the information. What's good about the process is they put their side up. We put our side up. The judge makes a decision. You're done. I mean, I wish legal matters could be that simple a lot of times. But, and they're usually pretty fair. And we oftentimes will lean in and try to settle them. We don't want to put any bad blood there. But I think they understand, the kind of money that's getting thrown around. The process works. So whether you like it or you don't like it, it gets people in, gets them to spring training, gets the deal done, and, guys are going to make plenty of money.
I don't know if you remember Dell, our producer, from the last time that you were here.
I do.
He hates baseball, and he wanted...
That's not accurate.
No, he does. And he wanted every series to be over in 4 games, so he was really disappointed.
I wanted the Astros to win, but I just wanted them over quickly.
Because it was baseball, and he didn't want to watch it anymore.
I mean, baseball's fine. It's just I can't do it in all season. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
So I think it's fair. 162 games. That's a lot of games by today's standards for short attention span, right? And they're not 2-hour games. They last a little while. How do you counter – so as you're sitting here, someone who grew up with baseball, we all grew up with baseball, but I have kids. Mm-hmm. And I understand when I take the kids to the Astros game, we're probably gone by the seventh inning. That's just the way it's going to be. How do you deal with – what are your thoughts on that?
Well, listen, I think the commissioner's been working on trying to reduce the time of the game. You get some pushback sometimes with the players. You know, it, really, if you look at it, it's get the guy on the mound and throw the ball and keep the guy in the batter's box. That's where a lot of the time gets wasted, mm-hmm. every single pitch. They stretch the games out. You're using more relievers. We've got to do something. You know, I'd love to see them put some rules in effect, and it's, you know, it's the history of the game and you're changing the game. But we're going to lose fans if we don't get the game times down, and so that's just the way it's going to be. But, yeah, it's a long night. It's kind of – you know, the kids can't sit. Shoot, I can't sit that long. I was jumping up and down every other inning in the game on Sunday night. It was 5.5 hours. I mean, it was like, it felt like I was there a day and a half. I mean, you know, and then you've got to unwind the game. You know, they got to get the games down. I mean, that's the, there's some stuff in place. They're going to put clocks on the pitchers.
You're for it?
Yeah, I think you've got it. Yeah, well, you just mentioned it. They used to play the games in 2 hours and 30 minutes, some games in 2 hours. That you can go with.
Pitchers operated faster.
Yeah, you got to get the guys in. You see one little subtle change where you, instead of throwing four balls to a guy, they just put them on first. They've got to get after it, and they got to make the changes and get the game times down.
Let's be real about it, too. You mentioned it. Getting in the box and all that, that's nice. The amount of changes and micromanaging from managers because of the data they have, mm-hmm. lefty on lefty, Davey this Lowe. Pitcher versus this pitcher, you could see it's not unusual to see one starter and four relievers in a single game. And with more and more starters going like five innings.
What about that Dodgers series?
Dave Roberts.
That's Dave Roberts was just stupid.
Of course games are going to last 4+ hours when you have seven pitchers coming in a game.
Yeah, no, I mean, you saw that. You know, Dave, I think, more directed than AJ was. I mean, once a game starts, AJ's in control. If he's got a gut call or if he's, you know, he's looking at the data. Don't think he isn't, because he's very bright and very smart and studies that in advance. And they've got computers in the dugout now so they can see the stuff or pull information up during the game. So, I think you've got to, you know, they're gonna use that because they're going to go with the percentages and the data. But, you know, you're going to see the games continue to use a lot of different pitchers.
You for a computerized strike zone?
I mean, certainly it's not as precise as it could be right now.
If it
gets precise, I think eventually, you know, that's another thing that's, you know, it's part of the game and the umpires and, you know, you got an umpires union and, you know, you could still use umpires. It's not cutting anybody out. But I think, you know, the data's there. If it speeds up the game, I think eventually you're going to have to get there.
As opposed to the, I'm for it. Let's have a unified strike zone as opposed to this strike zone this night, this strike zone the next night. What he thinks is a strike. You got the ability, or at least close to the ability now, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, who can get that exactly right as fast as that ball's coming in? I don't care how good a vision you have. I mean, you even see it. You know, we do a lot of scouting with the, you know, this high speed video, which really lets you see the batter's release point and the way he swings the bat and the bat angle and everything slows everything down. A bat swing takes a second. You can't tell where the guy, you can't really tell by the naked eye exactly what's wrong with a guy's swing. But when you break it down with the data we have now, you can really tell some of the flaws or what's he doing right and what's he doing wrong. So, yeah, I think the same thing with the strike zone. Nobody can see that perfectly. You know, they can have some good umpires and they're going to miss some calls and some critical calls. Part of the game, but getting it right, you know, with the replays help, but it also is taking more time to do the replays too.
Do you know that football is doing something? I think one of the most interesting things to me is I read an article that changed everything for me in terms of, I remember hearing you guys had a comment about Mark Appel and bringing him up because of some of the metrics or the data, and I for the life of me couldn't figure it out. And then I read, and it was clearly it was referencing something else, but I realized this is what was meant, was the spin rate, and there are certain ways that you guys can tell spin rate and the ability to throw breaking pitches. Everybody you guys get, Brent Strom and then plus your team, their breaking pitch gets better and better. You can rely on sliders and curveballs. Justin Verlander talked about it. Wilson football is really – they've got chips now in footballs where they're measuring spin rates and they're measuring trajectory and – This element of fine-tuning the process through data and through measurements of things like spin rate, through, you know, really through physics, I think it's very – how do you – I mean, we all love baseball growing up, the baseball we had, but now I'm really getting into the way that the sports science is really taking off because it's really making a huge difference.
Well, when we took over, we didn't have anything. I mean, we didn't even have a data room, and the scouts were sending in pretty much manual reports. And so, you know, now we've automated and computerized it and highly much more efficient, but we're even taking it two or three steps further, trying to get ahead and stay ahead. But yeah, the teams will catch up in that area. And so we did have a competitive advantage there for a while, but we have to keep working on it. But you're going to see more and more and more of it. I think combined with, you know, good management, you know, good people skills, you know, there's still always going to be the human element's going to be a big part of it in the way you treat people. But yeah, the data doesn't lie. It's, you know, it's right there. You can see it. You can see the spin rate. There's no secret if a guy spins a ball a lot more and a certain pattern and a certain release point, it's going to break a lot more and it's harder to hit. So it's working. And, you know, Jeff and his team have done a great job in developing all that.
All right. Before you go, any more big moves?
I think we'll continue to look. You know, there's still a lot of free agents out there. If we can get something that would, you know, make a big improvement, like a Derek Cole move, you know, clearly see that was a good move for us. There's certain guys that we won't let go in the minor league system. We're still looking to the future to keep our system deep, you know, because we won't be able to have a team full of free agents, you know, unlike some of the other teams on the East Coast. I won't mention names, but are on the West Coast. But, yeah, we're always looking. I mean, if something became available and, you know, I'm not going to say we're done, but we've got a pretty good ball club right now. We like where we're sitting, and but we'll constantly be monitoring what's available and what the deal might look like.
Did you hate the Giancarlo Stanton signing?
Listen, that was a tough contract. There's another 10 years on that contract, and, you know, if you look at his history, he was out a lot, he was injured a lot, and he's still fairly young. I mean, that's going to be probably a good contract for a while. But I'd rather, I always said good pitching beats good hitting, you know, and so we got some pretty good pitching. So, you know, the Yankees are going to be tough next year with that bat in the lineup. But, you know, I think you'll see some adjustments made to the way they pitch him. We certainly will. And Judd and some of their big home run hitters, we hopefully can keep them contained and get to the point where we get to play them again.
Yep. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen again. I'm pretty sure. All right, we'll let you go. We appreciate you spending time here.
Nice to be with you. We'll see you down at spring training.
Yep, we'll see you down there. That's Jim Crane, owner of your Houston Astros, right here on ESPN 97.5. Thanks for hanging with us.